Hello, good evening, and welcome to Saturday Sport Classified. You're tuned to Manx Radio AM. I'm Dave Moore, coming up a roundup of what's been happening with sport across the island. We'll have scores from football, hockey and rugby. And also looking ahead to tonight's FC Isle of Man live commentary game against Stockport Town. But first, the headlines tonight. The last kick of the game settles a dramatic semi-final tie in the ECAP FA Cup. This year's Woods Cup final will be a West v South affair. Ramsey come from behind to see off Douglas Royal in a Canada Life Premier League thriller. In hockey, ladies Premier League leaders fail to win for the first time this season. And in rugby, there's a heavy defeat for Douglas. So we'll be hearing from Dave Christian for rugby. We'll also be hearing from Tony Meppen for football. And shortly we'll be hearing from Sam Spooner for hockey. But first of all, today's classified check. Beginning with football in the ECAP FA Cup semi-finals. Ayr United 4, Corinthians 0. Laxey 3, Douglas High School Old Boys 2. The GH call it Woods Cup semi-finals. Maloo 5, Foxdale 2. St John's United 5. Douglas and District 2. The Canada Life Men's Premier League. Maroon 2, Peel 3. Ramsey 4, Douglas Royal 3. Division 2, Castletown 6, Michael 1. Governors Athletic 1, Douglas Athletic 3. Jims 1, Onken 6. Pulrose 5, Braddon 1. And in Canada Life Combination 1, Peel 4, Maroon 0, Union Mill 6, Corinthians 0. And in Combination 2, Douglas Athletic 4, Governors Athletic 3, Braddon 0, Colby 3, Douglas and District 2, Castletown 2, Foxdale 2, St John's 1, and Onken 7, Jims 1. On to rugby. Birkenhead Park 67, Douglas 0. Littleborough 32, Vagabonds 22. And Vagabonds Hornets 12, Emerging Nomads 41. On to hockey, Rossborough Men's Premier League. Valkyries B 0, Vikings 16. Vikings B 2, Ramsey 5. And Backers 6, Valkyries 2. Rossborough Women's Premier League. Valkyries B 3, Backers 4. Valkyries 6, Ramsey 1. Castletown 1, Vikings 1. Rossborough Men's Division 1. Backers B 6, Castletown 0. Harlequins 9, Castletown B 2. Rossborough Women's Division 1. Valkyries C against Backers B is a late result, as is also Vikings B against Castletown B. Also a late result for Rossborough Men's Division 2, Valkyries C against Harlequins B. In Rossborough Women's Division 2, Ramsey B 0, Castletown C 2. Castletown Colts 2, Vikings C 2. Rossborough Mixed Under-16s 2, Backers 3, Castletown C 4. Valkyries C 1, Vikings 12. And Ramsey Rogues and Rascals against Harlequins is a late result. So we can say hello, good evening. We're switching things around a little bit differently this week. We're going to speak to Sam Spooner first about today's hockey. And we're going to start in the Rossborough Men's Premier League and the earlier game, a comprehensive, resounding, smashing, really, by Vikings against Valkyries B.
Yeah, and I think to credit to Valkyries B, they gave 100% the whole game. They're struggling a little bit with their personnel, as are a couple of other clubs on the island. But Vikings A, 11-0 up at half-time. Wound it back a little bit in the second half, 16-0 win. They've now scored 79 goals in 10 games this season, Vikings A, and they are looking very, very good for the rest of the season. Tom Wilson was 7, Dom Hubble with 3, Macklin Wilson with 2, and then singles from Alex Andrew, Tom Burrows, Tim Henderson and Tom Evans. Alex Andrew, I believe that's actually his first game for the Vikings A team this week, and he scored on his debut for the A team.
Good stuff. So Ramsey gave Vikings B a beating as well.
Yeah, it was a little bit closer than it looks on this. I said Vikings B, if they're going to beat one of the A teams in this league, it's going to be this game. Couldn't quite overcome it. A few personnel issues again. But Andy Harding and Lee Cowell for the Vikings B. And for Ramsey A, it was Sam Moffat with 3, Tom Titsos and John Garrett-Jackson on the score sheet.
And a 6-2 win for Backers against Valkyries.
Yeah, I expected that, to be fair, for Backers A. I did think Valkyries A, they ran them close last time. And it just said, I just thought if they could start the first half as they meant to go on, rather than trying to come back into it in the second half, they might have a chance. But Backers A with 3-0 up in the first half. Carl Moore with 3, Tony Bentley-Roberts with 3. Consolation goals from Craig Killian and Toby Lace.
So can you tell us how the Premier League kind of looks regarding this?
Yeah, so Backers A are on 22 points. Vikings A are on 20 points. However, Vikings A have a goal ahead on the head-to-head record. So Vikings A are in the driving seat as long as they can beat Backers A in the return fixture, which I believe is in 2 weeks' time.
Okay. Rossborough Women's Premier League and a tight game between Backers and Valkyries B.
I said Valkyries B have been incredible the past few weeks, and they are going to challenge these A teams now, and they came so close. It was 2-2 at half time. Great performance from that Valkyries B side. I'll be gutted to see them leave the Premier League if they get relegated next week. But Steph Cottier with 2 and Becky Corkish on the score sheet for Valkyries B. For Backers A, Rosie Callow with 2, Ellie Pearson and Lucy Kinraid on the score sheet. And managed to get the win just narrowly in that second half.
And Valkyries beating Ramsey by 6-1.
Yeah, Valkyries A turning up the style. Ramsey, I've said they struggled this season a little bit. I expect them to come back strong next season. But Valkyries A's goal scorers was Rachel Lucas with 3. She's been prolific this year. Ellen Cleeter and Andrea Littlejohns. Ellen Cleeter with 2, sorry, and Andrea Littlejohns with 1. And then Maddie Dunlop got the consolation goal for Ramsey A.
And Castletown and Vikings share the spoils.
Yeah, well, Castletown A, it looks like they went 1-0 up in the first half through Hannah Lees, the captain. But Vikings A, they're missing 7 players today. They're Jess Birch from the B team, an outfielder, played in nets for Vikings A this week and made a great save in the first half. But again, it's just one of those things. The B team players that came up into the A team proved themselves this week, but they couldn't quite get the win they needed. However, it doesn't make any difference to Vikings A. Yes, they've not got both points, but it's still all on their hands. They win next week, they win the league.
Okay,
that simple.
So that's simple for in terms of the league standings. Let's move to Rossborough Men's Division 1. Just a couple of fixtures today. Backers B seeing off Castletown.
I did not expect a 6-0 win by Backers B, but what a performance by that young Backers B side. Craig Lees leading the way with 3. Harry Kalin and Kian Ledwidge, 2 incredible young players. Harry Kalin's one of my favourite strikers in the league at the minute. And Andy Neal all with 1. Castletown A, again, I have heard that a couple of their players have been taken down with COVID. 2 of their better players as well. And unfortunately for Castletown A, they are now on the back foot. They've got to rely and hope that Backers B will drop a couple of points. But Backers B, they needed that win. They've gone out and got it. They're ahead on that head-to-head record, importantly. And now 2 points clear in the league table.
Not a good day for Castletown because the B team also went down 9-2 against Harlequins.
Yeah, and I think it's one of those things. Harlequins, they've been getting better and better all season. Very young players in that side. In fact, quite often you'll see the A team, half the A team, also playing for the B team because under-18s can play 2 games in a day. But Castletown B, they've given themselves a good account this season. Jamie Cox on the score sheet with 2 for Castletown B. For Harlequins A, start with the young goal scorers. Alfie Swales with 3. Callum Crellin, Corey Corkill, Ronan Santanatolio with 2, and then the older players, Paul Nuttall and Martin Partridge on the score sheet for Harlequins A.
Phil Swales will be a proud dad this evening. Rossborough Women's Division 1, do we have a result yet for Valkyries C against Backers B?
Just bear with me a second. Nope, not at this point in time.
And Vikings B, Castletown B?
Nope, not at this point.
Okay, and what about the Rossborough Men's Division 2, the game between Valkyries C
just had that result.
And Harlequins B? So, breaking news.
Harlequins B 8, Valkyries C 0. Harlequins B win promotion into the Men's Division 1.
So just repeat that score again.
8-0 to Harlequins B.
Oh, to Harlequins B. Yep. Right, okay.
And the goal scorers, and yep. I said a few of their players are shared with the A-team and the under-18s. Runa Santanatoli, who got 2 for the first team, scored 6 for the B-team today. Oren Blakemore with 1. And the ageless Peter Foxton on the score sheet as well for the champions, Harlequins B.
Excellent. So congratulations to them. Rossborough Women's Division 2, Castletown C with a 2-0 win against Ramsey B.
Yeah, bottom of the table, Castletown C. They were well out. They were 5 points behind the league leaders at the before today's results. However, they've dragged themselves back into a potential title fight by making it a 4-point difference between top and bottom of this league. Now, if they win all their games, they can get a maximum of 13 points. So they're still in with a shout, and if they can get a result next weekend, it's just such a tight league, this one. I can't predict any winners.
Excellent. That's what we want. Castletown Colts and Vikings C, they yep. also have a draw.
Yeah, 2-2, and big result for both sides. Really, both sides would have wanted the win. It does keep Vikings C top. It does keep Castletown Colts 1 point behind. But if either of these sides are going to beat Backer C in the league, because now Backer C have got 2 games in hand on the rest of the league, really one of them wanted the win, but it was a great performance by both sides. Castletown Colts through Sophie Fithian scored the opener. I was there for that goal, but I don't have their second goal scorer just yet. For Vikings C, Becca Kelly and Jan Carney to keep this league super tight.
Okay, let's move on to the under-16s in the Rossborough Mixed. Backers 3, Castletown C 4.
Yeah, big result for Castletown C. They are sitting bottom of the league at the minute with 4 points after today's results. Backer C sitting 4th in the league with 8. Sienna Millwood with 2 and Oliver Christian on the score sheet for Backers. For Castletown C, it was Fern Bogatti with 2, Archie Cox and Robbie Valerga.
Kikoki, so Vikings with a big win against Valkyrie C, 12-1.
Yeah, again, all credit to Valkyrie C. They struggled to get a team out today. They only had the bare 11 out in that under-16 squad. In fact, I know a few of them also played in their senior teams later on in the day. And on such a hot day like this, massive credit to Valkyrie C. They are struggling a little bit for personnel. Lola Bass with a consolation for Valkyrie C. For Vikings, Josh Dougal and Jacob Harding with 3 apiece. Alex Andrew, who scored on his debut for the first team, in the men's first team today, scored 4. And Oliver Nande with 2 goals, with his first 2 goals for the Vikings under-16s team.
And the one result we're missing, Ramsey Rogues and Rascals against Harlequins.
I haven't got a result for that one yet, but it's a late pushback, okay. So I'll let them off.
So no more results have come in since we mentioned it.
I do have one more. Okay. We have Ladies Division 1, Backers B 3, Valkyrie C 2. Doesn't really make any difference to the league at this point in time. Both those sides are bottom and second from bottom.
Let's just talk about last weekend. The boys were away. We were talking that maybe they could go all the way, but unfortunately their fantastic journey came to an end.
No, but they kept us all in tenterhooks. It did go to shuffles, and they did lose on shuffles, but what a performance by those young lads. Just goes to show what talent we have on the Isle of Man when all of our junior representative sides are exceeding everybody's expectations. Everybody they face seems to think, oh, they're from a little island in the middle of the Irish Sea. They're not going to be great, but they've done us all proud, especially the Isle of Man under-14s boys team. They've had a fantastic run, and hopefully next year, you know, when they go up into that under-16s, they might get that far again.
Is this because of any kind of shift in the way Manx Hockey Association has moved in recent years in the way of developing youngsters, and certainly now with the all-weather pitches, etc., etc.? Is all these things, is it a culmination of things coming together? Is that why our youngsters are doing so well?
I think with when I first started playing hockey 21 years ago, there wasn't any junior setups, apart from maybe Backers, but there wasn't really any junior setups at any clubs. I mean, I got involved again at the age of 16 in the pub, talking to a friend after college, and we're short this weekend, and that's how I got into hockey. My dad was always playing hockey when I was a kid as well, so it's always a sport I kept an eye on. To now, you have full pathways through all the clubs. You have under 11s, under 13s. Under 16s into the seniors, and then you've got some hockey-tot sessions for much younger children as well to sort of get them training and enjoying having a hockey stick in their hand. And I think that every club does that now. Every club on the Isle of Man has a huge junior setup, to the point where we're a massive sport on the Isle of Man. We're competing with football almost. And I think that's massive credit to the MHA chairmen, secretaries, everybody involved in the running of Manx hockey over the past few years to get that player pathway going. I know John Whiting had a massive say in that as well. He's the Ireland men's coach now. So yeah, everybody that's involved in those junior sessions, incredible.
Okay. Next weekend then, so the hockey season's all coming to what they call the business end.
Yeah, and it's 2nd of April next weekend, finals weekend. So we've got four finals, two cup finals, men's and ladies, and two plate finals, men's and ladies, and I'll be down there covering it all day.
Okay, do we know who's in which final?
Yes, yeah, so in the MHA women's final, Valkyries B, heroes for me, getting into the final by beating Castletown A, who coincidentally took a point off Vikings A today. They play Vikings A in the ladies' final. In the MHA men's final, it is big game, backers A, Vikings A. That's going to be see some crunching tackles, determination from both sides to win that. And it's a precursor to the week after when the league could well be decided. And then in the men's plate, we have Harlequins. It's Castletown B versus Vikings C.
I put you on the spot here.
Yeah, I had to remember then. And then in the ladies' plate, it is Harlequins A versus... Ooh, now you're putting me on the spot.
I put you on the spot. Okay, not too
I don't know off the top of my head. I can't remember. I did have it written down on a piece of paper, but I've lost it.
Oh, dear.
But yeah, it's going to be a great day. It'll be covered from... Paul will be coming to me every now and then to give live updates of the game, so I'm about 12:30. So yeah, it'll be covered all day live down there.
Excellent. Okay, thank you very much. So we say thank you to Sam Spooner, and we've got rugby and football still to come.
Manx Radio Sport, driven by Rex Motor Company. Find your dream car by visiting rexmotorcompany.in today, or find us on Facebook.
So you're listening to Saturday Sport Classified. The time is just gone 60. It's just coming up to 17 minutes past 5 o'clock. You're with Dave Moore. We've had a roundup of the hockey. We'll be having a roundup of the rugby very shortly as well, and also the football. We'll just give you an update on the rugby results. It was a terrible day for Douglas. They went down 67-0 at Birkenhead Park. Vaggers Ladies, they also went down today 32-22. And in the local game here on the island, Vagabonds Hornets 12, Eastern Nomads 41. So a good victory for Eastern Nomads. And just an up-to-date on the football, the ECAP FA Cup semi-finals today, Ayr United beat Corinthians. They'll meet Laxey in the final. Laxey seeing off Douglas High School Old Boys by 3-2 with a last-minute kick of the game deciding that fixture. And in the GH Corlett Woods Cup semi-finals, that's the competition for second division teams, it was 5-2 in both fixtures, and it was Malou who saw off Foxdale by 5-2 to make it through to the Woods Cup final. And they'll be playing St John's against Douglas and District. The score there, 5-2. So we're going to have Tony Meppham in just a moment's time talking football, and we'll be talking to Dave Christian for rugby very, very soon. But first of all, it will be Tony Meppham and football. As I said, a great day today in the ECAP FA Cup. Ayr United, the current league Premier League leaders, beating Corinthians by 4-0. They are the cup holders that have gone out. And a cracking game between Laxey and Douglas High School All Boys, 3-2.
Cracking weather as well, Dave. Sunburnt, I'm sure a few people are, but didn't take long Ayr United to get going because it was 1-0 after 5 minutes. Sean Kelly with a big long throw. Jamie Callister, the centre-back, had made his way up and he was there to head it in to give them the lead 1-0. Second one went in after 31 minutes. Phil Dunnigan with a cross over the top to Sean Kelly. His header was there to make it 2-0 and looking pretty safe for Ayr. Corinthians had a couple of chances. Ayr had a couple of chances, but it was always sort of Ayr that looked more clinical in front of goal. 3-0 was when Phil Dunnigan scored, and well done to him. Probably the talking point was when Sean Kelly got sent off just after the fourth goal, where, you know, it was two players coming in together a bit strong, and the referee judged that it was a red card, and Sean got his marching orders, and Phil Dunnigan, it was 4 minutes before Sean got sent off, got his second of the game. Good display by him, good display by Ayr, and Corinthians unfortunately didn't get too many chances.
Air United, obviously having the best season they've ever had. Are the fans coming out to support them?
Oh, definitely. Cake sales and everything going on down there today.
Brilliant.
Dave. Yeah, there's plenty going on. Great to see some old players as well in my playing day down watching, which is good to see. But if you can't find an interest to watch football with the weather that we've had today and the way Air are playing, then you don't have much interest in football. But no, it's looking good for Air because they've already got the Railway Cup. They're looking good for the league. They're in the FA Cup final and still a Hospital Cup to go. So we don't like talking about it, but Grand Slam could be on.
And the officials had a good game?
One official. We're short of officials today to things that are going on and illnesses and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
So unfortunately, there was only 20 officials available, but Stewie Morris controlled it really well. I don't think he had too much to deal with. There was a spell in the second half for about 10 minutes. They decided to have a kicking match amongst each other, but there was just that when one red card, and unfortunately for Sean Kelly, it could prove costly.
Both you and I are older than Air United. Did you know that?
Yes.
Yes. I know a couple of the guys that helped form the club back in the 1960s. So, yeah, great to see. OK, there are circumstances involved, of course. But, yeah, great to see Air United potentially going on to maybe making it a League and Cup double.
Yeah, like last year, what they finished fifth. When you look at the players that were there, you know, Johnny Shields, Sean Kelly, they'd all sort of been playing at Peel as well, Christian Penswick, but they've come back to their home, and with Nick Hurt and Rick Holden there organising things, it's good. But you know, it's just one of those that Corinthians, it's a rebuild job. When you look at last year's team, there was four played today, so the young players come through and they've got bright futures. There's good players in there. João Marquez, you've got Callum, you've also got Joe Middleton. So, you know, it's just letting them develop, and I'm sure it'll all come good again.
OK, so that was the first semi-final. What a cracking semi-final in the other game down at Glen Road.
Well, yeah, came back the Coast Road.
Do you know what? I thought you would.
And I thought to myself, I'll keep within the speed limits, but I was sort of getting feedback of what was going on, and when I heard it was 2-2,
did you pop down?
Yeah, with about 6 minutes to go, I thought that'll do, and I tried to buzz you, but obviously you were busy. Mm-hmm. And it was basically the last minute I was there, and there was a lot of pressure on from Laxey on Old Boys defence. You could see they didn't want to give away a penalty or anything, and I think it was Harry Walters who got it, and the place went absolutely berserk. So I just put the van into reverse and drove off, because I was hoping, Dave, to bring his a penalty shootout. We haven't had one for quite a few years now, but they got through to it. But I don't know how the scoring went, but I know where Robbie Ward got the first one for Old Boys, gave them the lead. Then Harry Walters equalised to make it 1-1. Don't know how it went after that, but I know Harry Walters got the winner. Michael Fernandez got one, and I'm not too sure who got Old Boys' other one.
So Laxey versus Air United in the Cup final, the date still to be decided?
Yeah, and you know, one or two people are just saying, you know, what's happening. And, you know, I don't know what the score's gone on today with Withenshaw against New Mills.
The last I heard it was a draw.
No, Withenshaw took the lead towards the end.
Okay.
So that sort of puts major advantage towards FC Isle of Man. But unfortunately, we chose Easter Saturday. And if FC Isle of Man get to the final of the playoffs, then that's down for Easter Saturday. And that takes precedence over our final. The sponsors are already coming. They're coming hopefully here Friday, Saturday. Mm-hmm. So we're just waiting to see what happens with that, because we'd ideally like the Easter Saturday, but then again, we'd ideally like FC Isle of Man to be in the final as well. So we're going to have to probably make a decision sooner than later, but we don't want to sort of call it too early. So everyone knows, we've kept people posted what's going on, and we'll just have to shift the Woods Cup if it comes to it from the Friday to the Monday.
And talking of the Woods Cup, Malou, I think it was close. I think it was 2-2 at one point between those two, but they eventually saw off. They won 5-2.
Yeah, they did. And Darren Tartar, I've watched him a few times this year, and I thought the game against Douglas High School Old Boys, I went down to watch him, and you know, I know Blaine Satu was down watching him as well, and he didn't have a good game, but today certainly had a good game. He got a hat-trick, and the other goal scorer, Kieran Krippner, got one. I'm not too sure I got the other one, because my phone's just over the other side there. But for Foxdale, the two goals, it was, again, I think it was Jay Chatwood who got them both, and job done. So we'll just have a little sift through here to see if we can get it through. So we've got all the scorers. And
but Ballou in a Woods Cup final
Craig
again.
Yeah, Craig Cowan it was who got the other one.
Okay, but so Ballou, I've got a cup final to look forward to.
Yeah, great day out for them. And as I say, at the moment, it could be Good Friday or it could be Easter Monday. Our apologies, but again, it's just, you know, trying to sort things out. But, you know, the club have done a lot of work on the ground. The ground looked superb this morning when they got it all sorted out. And today against Foxdale, that's a great result, that, because Foxdale, you know, one of the top teams in there. And to hold their forward line contained like they did and to score five goals, credit to them. And they're going to the final and they'll play St John's.
OK, and yeah, and that was a 5-2 victory as well.
It was, and certainly, again, another close battle, because better performance today by D&D, 9-2 last time, 5-2 this time. Dan Robinson, it was, who got both goals for D&D. I'm going to read this out carefully just in case there's some things in it, but D&D went in front. Sam Beattie equalised 1-1 at half-time. D&D, the better team. Credit to you, Tony. Different game second half. St John's took the lead and never looked back. Further goals from Harry Rothwell with two, Dean Leese with one. Liam Harrison got one as well, finished the job. First final for St John's since 1984, so
never.
Well done.
Really?
Yeah, that's what he says.
So
here.
Going back to the days of Bill Dale and people like that, maybe?
No, well, they were a bit sooner than that.
Another 10 years further back.
A bit sooner than that. But one chuff manager, it says from here, and Sam Ingham was missing, Callum Taggart was missing. So it's even, you know, a really good performance for them. And St John's against Ballou will make a great final.
It will make a great final indeed. So, OK, there were some Premier League fixtures as well today.
Yeah, and there was. It was Ramsey 4, Douglas Royal 3. And for Ramsey, it was an own goal. Matthew Montgomery, Nathan Crane on the score sheet once again. And Chris Duggan it was who scored from the penalty spot. It was 2-1 to Douglas Royal at half-time. For Douglas Royal, it was Taylor Andrews with a couple of goals. And Andy Asbridge, I think, got his goal from the penalty spot.
And the other game was a victory for Peel. And again, Moround, they've not had the greatest of seasons. And yet again, they've come so close to getting a result and they've not quite managed it.
They do well against the top teams.
They don't get battered, do they? But it's always that, again, just that single goal defeat, which must be so disparaging.
Yeah,
for them.
And Moround took the lead. Thomas Redmond got a goal. Matthew Davies got the other one. But Jacob Robertshaw, who's been playing really well for Peel, he got a goal. Reece Oates got one. And Ethan Herbert got the other one. So good performance that by Peel in the end.
I only have the one combination, one result to hand, but it was a good one for Union Mills, a 6-0 victory over Corinthians.
Yeah, I'll rattle through those if I can, because for Union Mills, it was Kyle Uren with two. Taylor Hughes got a hat-trick and an own goal. Peel against Moround, it was 4-0 to Peel. Their goal scorers were Alec Akolongo, Kenzo Senior, Billy Kenyatt got one, and Lee Hardman got the other one. So Peel's combi there keeps pressure on, and with Douglas High School All Boys up there and rushing as well, there's a good little battle going on.
So any other results in there, Combination 1?
Combination 1, we've got Ramsey U Centre 2, Old Boys 2. So points dropped there for Old Boys. For Old Boys, it was Ben Coates and Aaron Livesey. And just coming through the system now is Douglas Royal's combination result. They lost 5-1. Kevin Ballard got the goal for Douglas Royal. So that one was against Ramsey.
So that's Combination 1 done?
Yep.
OK, let's move on to Combination 2. Colby with a good win away at Braddon.
Yeah, it was 3-0 it was. 0-0 at half-time. Colby missed the penalty first half. Seb Spears got one. Jay Gandy with a goal. And Jay Conrad,
Gandy.
I think it. Gandy?
Yeah, and he was the penalty. He missed the penalty as well, Jay Gandy.
Okay, and Jay Conrad I've got here as well.
Conrad, I think, yeah.
Yeah, it was. Got the other one. So good result that for Colby. The other results, Onken 7, Jim's 1.
Yeah.
Haven't got the goal scorers through yet, but Douglasson District.
4-3 win over Governors.
No, D&D.
Oh.
2.
Castletown 2.
Castletown
right.
2.
Yeah.
For Castletown, it was Aidan Sansbury and Harry Harrison. For D&D, it was Richard Radcliffe with two goals. And as you rightly say, Douglas Athletic 4, Governors Athletic 3. Haven't got any goal scorers.
And is that it? That's the...
The big one. It's Foxdale 2, St John's 1. Because St John's...
Right.
Top of the league. I don't think they're under any pressure to lose it, but I'll just see if
there were 2 points ahead of Onken at the start of the day, and Onken had played a game more.
Yeah, just see if we've got any goal scorers, and it was Callum Wade who got the 2 goals for Foxdale. Haven't got the St John's goal scorer.
Okay, I'm just going to pause things there for football for the moment, so stick around, Tony. We're going to hand down to Dave Christian. He's been waiting patiently to give us an update on what was going on for what was eventually a dismal day for Douglas, David.
Indeed, it was. I've been looking at this, and I've been in contact with Tom Waterworth, the Douglas coach, earlier this week as well. And they're not having a good run of things down there at Portishee. They've lost 67-0 away today at Birkenhead Park. I had a little glimmer of hope that they might just be able to pull something out of the bag here. But the team or the squad has been decimated by injuries. The fixture list has been particularly punishing for them. We've had 12 Saturdays now since the beginning of 2022, and Douglas have played 11 out of those 12 weeks. The only week that they had off was in February when the pitch wasn't playable, and I think Altrincham Kersall had actually travelled here and were waiting to play the game. That was the Saturday when the Douglas and Onken area got hit by quite heavy snow on the Saturday morning. So it's been absolutely desperate time for Douglas. They had to make a late change to the squad again today. Oisin Foley-Gaffney coming in on the wing after Connor Garland was unable to travel. So even when they're managing to get the team and the squad all selected and teed up for the game, at the last minute they're disrupted. Now, obviously a lot of sporting clubs are struggling right now with the COVID and the increased number of cases. So it's difficult for everybody, but particularly difficult for Douglas, and that 67-0 defeat. There's very little they can take out of that game other than it's another one that's off the list. And the news doesn't really get any better for them as well, because next Saturday they have the unbeaten, newly crowned champions of North One West, Stockport. They visit Portishee next Saturday, so it's going from one tough game to another. I would think that the players and coaching staff down there at Portishee will be really glad to see the back of this season. There's been a movement in the table around them as well today. We've seen that Bowden have picked up a win. Altrincham Kersall also picked up points today. So Douglas are down to 13th place. That is on points difference, so they're tied with Bowden on 21 points, and it's difficult to see where additional points will come for Douglas. The only saving grace for them perhaps is that there is no relegation this season, and they will be secure in North West One for next season at least. And that'll give them time to have a little bit of a reboot during the summer and try and get things back to their former glory is probably the best way to think of it. Three fixtures left for Douglas after that Stockport game. They're away at Kendal on the 5th of April. They have a home tie against Vale of Lune on the 23rd. And their final match is scheduled at least for Broughton Park to visit Portishee on the 30th of April. And then it'll all be done for them. So they're kind of in the final home straight, but a little bit more misery today. And fingers crossed that everybody gets fit and well again soon down there at Portishee. And maybe they can make a little late flourish to the season. Away at Littleborough today, there was no joy for Vagabonds Ladies either. It was their final game of the 21-22 season. They lost 32-22 against the bottom side. I think a final flourish was what they were looking for, but again, their squad was disrupted. Corinna Daly, who's so important for them at number 8, unable to play today because of a leg injury. I understand she has travelled, but she was over there being probably quiet and reserved on the touchline, as she always is. Prop Jess Swales went over twice for Vagabonds. She's been on the score sheet recently a couple of times. Becky Dunn continued her run. I think she's got now 4 in 4 games. And there was also a try there for Jules Harrison with Sammy McDonald adding a conversion. I think Vagas got the bonus point, but it won't do them any good. They're going to remain in fourth place in the standings, at least for now. But there's a chance that Lee may just overhaul them. Vagabonds now completed their fixture list. Apart from a game against Preston Grasshoppers, but that one won't be played. Preston Grasshoppers are already confirmed as champions. Nobody can catch them. And of course, Vagabonds are assured of no relegation. So if the game doesn't count for promotion or relegation, it's not likely to be played. Given that it was the snow day on the 19th of February and Vagabonds had actually travelled to Preston. So I can't see any of the sides wanting to pay for an extra trip over if it's not really necessary. But Lee do have fixtures. They've got Chester Divas tomorrow. In a week's time, they've got Preston Grasshoppers. And then they've got Littleborough on the 10th of April as well. So Lee have got chances to take over from Vagabonds in that fourth place. So respectable mid-table finish, I guess, is probably where they'll be going for this season. And finally, the Ravenscroft Manx Plate. That competition is getting much, much tighter now. Emerging Nomads pulled off a win today at Bala Fletcher. They beat Vagabonds Hornets 41-12 in the game we covered for Saturday Live. It pushes Nomads up to second place in the standings. Vagabonds top of the table, 16 points. Nomads second with 12. Western Vikings and Ramsey on 11 and 10 respectively. But those two sides didn't play today. Vikings have got a touch of the dreaded Rona, so that game will be rescheduled for the next few weeks. And they could just, Western Vikings certainly, a win could put them top of the table. But that's all to come in the future. Today, comprehensive really win for Nomads. Two first half scores from their youngster Nathan Page got them onto the front foot. Vaggers hit back with a try from Dylan Chambers, but Nomads closed out the first half with two more scores, one from Percy Hampton, the other from the veteran Gaz Watt, and with Sean Christian converting three of those four tries, Nomads led 26-5 at half time. In the first minute of the second half, Phil Brideson pulled one back for Vagabonds. That was converted by Cam Finley to make it 26-12, but that was the end of the revival. Hampton ran in his second. Uri Watterson weighed in with a brace of his own. And like I said, that win puts Nomads up to second place in the standings. Vagabonds will look at that game with a little bit of self-contemplation, really. There were five yellow cards for them today, two reds. And they're really going to have to look at their discipline. Some of it was the professional foul, you know, the preventing quick release of the ball. That's fair play, I guess. You're going to expect to see one or two of those. But the red card near the end for Tom Rowley, that was for back chat to the referee. And Tom will now be suspended until such time as his disciplinary hearing is heard. But he's probably going to be looking at a 2 or 3 week suspension, which is probably means his season is done. So a little bit of work to do, I think, off the field for Vagabonds. On the field, they were competitive for large parts of the game, but Nomads just had a little bit more gas in the tank today.
Thank you very much, Dave Christian, our rugby reporter here on Manx Radio. And we're now going to switch our attention back to football. First of all, we'll be heading down to the bowl for a little look ahead to tonight's commentary game here on Manx Radio between FC Isle of Man and Stockport Town. And I'm not sure if Rob Pritchard is aware of the result involving New Mills. We'll find out now when we say good evening. Rob, what's the situation like down at the bowl?
Very good evening to you, Dave. Yes, very aware of those results. I'll come on to that in just a moment. But just first thing to say, if FC Isle of Man were selling sun loungers for this game today, they'd have made an absolute fortune. It is absolutely glorious down here at the bowl. The sun is out, clear skies, plenty of exciting football to look forward to. As we've known going into this week, the stakes couldn't really be too much higher as this intriguing and entertaining battle for the playoff positions in the NWCFL Division 1 South continue. In midweek, West Didsbury and Chorlton confirmed themselves as league champions with a 2-1 win over Barnton. So with first place decided, it is second, third, fourth and fifth that are still up for grabs. The upshot of it is that none of the playoff positions have been decided today. But circumstances around FC Isle of Man this evening mean that if the Ravens were to pick up three crucial points tonight, it would put them firmly in the driving seat to hold on to that important second place in the table come the end of the season. But there are still two regular league games to go, starting tonight against Stockport Town. So to put it into context in just how close the battle is in those playoff positions, as you mentioned, Dave, we will go to a couple of those scores. Well, Abbey Hay have at least temporarily gone a point above FC Isle of Man, having, of course, played a game more so far before the Ravens play tonight. They were 2-1 winners at home to Ellesmere Rangers. And the other really important result today was the other two teams in the playoff places playing each other over at Church Lane. And that finished New Mills 2, Withenshaw Amateurs 2. So those two sides both dropping points in their quest to push up those playoff places. So the table as it stands going into this evening, in second place, Abbey Hay on 81 points, having played 37. Then it's FC Isle of Man on 80 points, having played 36, playing that 37th game tonight, of course. Withenshaw Amateurs follow that in the third playoff position, so fourth in the table, on 79 points, having played 37. And then New Mills in fifth on 78 points, but having played 36. They do still have a game in hand. So taking a look at FC Isle of Man, they've made three changes to the squad that faced St Martins and won against St Martins 9-0 last week. Coming into the squad tonight are Jack Kamada, Jamie Corlett and Steve Whitley, and dropping out Cameron Avery, Jacob Crook and Taylor Andrews. The inclusion of Steve Whitley is likely to be a welcome one. He's been eased back into the side after picking up a hand injury a couple of weeks ago, but the injuries to some of the core players are still around, the likes of Mike Williams, the likes of Lee Gale, and the likes of Chris Cannell, to name just three. Those influential players still not part of the squad as it stands. So the squad as a whole is Matt Quirk, Ryan Burns, Sam Kane, Adam Cool, Jamie Corlett, Alex Maitland, Sean Quay, Chris Bass, Jack Kamada, Jack McVeigh, Adam Meelan, Furo Davies, Sean Doyle, Luke Murray, Dan Simpson and Steve Whitley. And I have just literally, in the last couple of seconds, just been handed the starting 11. So I'll let you know the starting 11 for FC Isle of Man. It's number 1, Matthew Quirk. Number 2, Adam Cool. Number 3, Ryan Burns. Number 4, Jack McVeigh. Number 5, Alex Maitland. Number 6, Sean Quay. Number 7, Adam Meelan. Number 8, Chris Bass. Number 9, and the captain, Sean Doyle. Number 10, Luke Murray. And number 11 is Dan Simpson. Well, FC Isle of Man has been the hot topic of conversation for a lot of people today. The eagle-eyed viewers of the TV screen earlier today will have seen a major feature on the club that was filmed a couple of weeks ago here at the Ball during the Abbey Hay game. That was featured today on BBC's Football Focus, and it was part of their programme that is celebrating today, funnily enough. It is Non-League Day, celebrating non-league football across Britain. So, can FC Isle of Man do what they need to do tonight to put themselves in prime position with the lure of that second place and that top playoff place up for grabs? It's entertaining, it's intriguing. With two regular league games to go, it's going right down to the wire.
Thank you very much. Rob Pritchard reporting from the Bowl ahead of tonight's big game against Stockport Town. And you'll be hearing live commentary of that from 6:30. Rob Pritchard this week, joined by Steve Burns. Tony Meppham, regular co-commentator, unavailable this evening, but he's available still with us here in the Manx Radio studio. And you like the sound of that lineup?
Yeah, it sounds pretty good. Good to see Adam Cool coming in at right back, because Sam Kane's been absolutely superb. But Adam Cool's a good little defender. When I say little, he's young. Mm-hmm. So he's got everything there. And it's great to see him given the chance. And the rest of them, you'd expect that. But I thought 7 days ago, Jack McVeigh was superb. You know, right the way through the whole game, he was impressive. I know that, you know, unfortunately, St Martin's couldn't sort of deal with him because he just created his own space.
Brilliant.
Pinging the ball around, great to watch, and a lot of goals, and credit to them for sticking at it for the 90 minutes, and unfortunately they've been relegated.
And what a wonderful night to play football.
Oh, superb. The weather's been great, and that's what it was like up at today. But yeah, the Bowl's always something pleasant. I don't think there'll be shortage of sort of occupants, if you like, on the far side. They've been through some rough weather, so we'll give them a good one tonight.
It'll probably be dark, though, I think, by that time, though, maybe. Who knows?
Yeah, o'clock last night I was looking at it, because you know, we're planning night games in a couple of weeks' time. But certainly today it's going to be brilliant and probably bright enough till maybe 7:05.
Okay, we've got a couple of draws to do.
We have
the Canada Life Women's FA Cup semi-finals and the Masters FA Cup semi-finals as well. We'll start with the Women's Cup in the Canada Life FA Cup. So four teams, obviously, for the semi-final. So
you've got the bag.
You've got the
four numbers.
I have.
And you're going to draw them.
I'm going to draw them. So here we go. I think this is the furthest I've ever made it into any cup competition.
So first one out.
First one out is number one.
Number one is Castletown.
So Castletown are the first one out. Just going to write that down as well. So Castletown are out, and they will play number three.
Number three is Douglas Royal.
So they'll play Douglas Royal. So Castletown versus Douglas Royal. And in the other semi-final, it will be... Yeah, number four.
Number four is Peel.
Peel. And that means it should be, fingers crossed, that this last one I'm pulling out is number two. Indeed it is.
Correct. Yep.
And that is a heck of a game. Peel versus Corinthians. We'll analyse them all in a moment. I'm putting the numbers back in for the Masters FA Cup draw. So back in again. They're having another good shuffle around. There
good
we go,
man.
With the effects. So back in again this time. So first one out for the Masters FA Cup semi-final is, again, number one.
Number one is Colby.
So Colby will play number four.
Number four is Onken.
So Colby v Onken. And the other fixture will be number two.
Number two is Corinthians.
Corinthians, and they are up against number three. There should be. It is number three.
Which is Douglas Royal.
Douglas Royal. Okay, let's just start with the Masters while we're in there then. So, yeah, Colby against Onken and Corinthians against Douglas Royal.
Yeah, the Colby-Onken one. Colby's still got a good team. So have Onken. So, again, it's just who's available, because the Masters this year has been a bit of a nightmare because everyone can travel again, Dave. Mm-hmm. They're off watching football and games are on Sunday. So I would say at the moment, possibly, slight favourites are Colby, but this could go anywhere. Corinthians against Douglas Royal, bit clearer because they've played each other recently, and Douglas Royal beat Corinthians. So Corinthians know what's coming. Douglas Royal, again, good side. And it's been sort of a tough season, I think, for Masters because, player availability with work, with sort of going away and stuff. But here we are coming towards the end of it, and the Masters FA Cup final. We haven't got a date for that one. The semi-finals, Dave, in both competitions will go ahead next Sunday.
Okay.
3 o'clock kickoff.
But, home games, or will it be played at the bowl? What's the situation with the Masters anyway?
Yeah. To be fair, we do it as it's drawn out. So Colby against Onken will be a 2:10 kickoff at the bowl next Sunday. And the Corinthians against Douglas Royal will be a 3:40 p.m. kickoff. And there is a little bit of extra time
allowed,
but it's not a lot of time. Mm-hmm. But hopefully they'll be done and dusted in normal time.
So okay, just I want to talk about Masters for a little bit then. So how is that kind of going now with Masters? I know you're saying player availability, etc. So are the kind of the teams struggling at the moment? Do we need more teams? Have we lost teams?
We're always open for more teams. It's been pretty sustained, to be fair.
You have to be 35 or over, is it?
35 or over, but you can be 105 if you can still run.
Yeah. But if you're playing already on a Saturday, can you still, if you're 36 and you're playing for, let's say, United today, you could still play in the Masters, can you?
No.
Okay.
I think the clubs, I could understand why they did it, because I saw it firsthand. I think it was last year, the year before. Onken, you're playing against Chris Bass, Johnny Myers, Sean Quay, Julian Ringham. There was a couple of others, Steve Priestnell. That's not what Masters football is all about.
Okay.
So the Masters clubs had a meeting last year, and they just chose that anyone who plays in their last game
was
a first team in the Premier League, then they can't play the following week for their Masters team, which I think is fair.
Brilliant.
Enough,
I think so, yeah.
Because it was just got stupid.
And it would put other players off that, okay, maybe aren't as fit or as skillful or talented as those players. You know, it puts them off and they're running around, struggling for oxygen as it is. Yeah, and then having top quality players running rings around them, and it's not really in the spirit of the game, is it?
Well, it wasn't what we wanted. And also the rule where a couple of clubs have been caught out this year, and that's been in for 2 or 3 years now, was that you must have played at least one Masters League game to play in the FA Cup. And that's just so. It happened about 3 years ago. Team got to the final and brought a load of players in who'd never played Masters football. They're at the right age. Uh-huh. So it's just one of those.
That's loopholes, though, isn't it? Yeah.
So yeah,
that's, they're exploiting loopholes, but now, those loopholes have been sealed. And so, and maybe because of that, we could maybe encourage more players or ex-players to get involved then.
Yeah, well, there's two clubs who aren't entered this year who want to play next year. A lot of the games are played on the bowl up until November. Then the ladies or the women come on to the bowl until the end of January. maybe the first week in February, and then the Masters come back on again. But, you know, I do the fixtures for it. It's an absolute nightmare, Dave, because, you know, clubs say, oh, I haven't got enough notice and stuff. If you've got a ticket to go and watch Liverpool or a chance to play Masters at the Bowl, where are you going? You're going to go and watch Liverpool play. So it's just unfortunate that we've had this sort of restriction in travelling and people want to now go and watch the game. But Masters football's good. You know, we played Royals recently. It was a right good battle. We had a good game, you know, with Colby and other teams over the last couple of years and other clubs as well. You know, Peel have won the league or near enough won the league again. They won it last year. And, you know, people say, well, there's players there playing for Peel who never played for them. Well, that doesn't really matter.
No, it doesn't matter. It's a game of football at the end of the day.
They go and play where their mates are. And same with Corinthians now. We had all Corinthians players near enough at one stage playing. And then suddenly through injuries and commitments, they've all come out. Nigel Moody's still playing. And there's other players joined us from other clubs who don't have Masters teams. And it's kept them in touch with football. And some of them have just kept their fitness ticking over. So if their club is short, you know, they will go and play for them. But a lot of them, you know, it's hard. The combination of football or first team football is hard going for them as well. But the Masters, they can do what they want and just play the ball around and enjoy the afternoon.
Does the Isle of Man FA have a Masters representative like we have with the women and others and the youngsters?
Yeah, we have had one before.
But not at the moment.
A long, long time ago.
All right, okay.
Not at the moment.
So I mean, I'm just because I'm thinking anyone who's actually listening to us now, they may have even moved to the island and they may think, oh, I fancy a kickabout. You know, what's the best way for them to get involved?
Just get in touch with the Isle of Man Football Association. They'll direct them to what club they appeal. But, you know, it does happen where sort of, you're right, Dave, people come over to work in a business environment and then they say, oh, I just fancy playing football. And they'll just say, well, I play. Do you want to come to our club? So they go train, well, not necessarily train them, but they go and have a little look. It's happened to us a couple of times and players have either joined or players don't, they go somewhere else. And it's all about having fun. And I think two or three years ago, it wasn't fun. When you've got all those sort of quality players who are playing for FC Isle of Man and playing for the Ireland team, playing in Masters football, that didn't fit for me.
Yeah, okay. I could maybe make a comment about the business league similar to that, but we'll leave that for another time. Just before we go on that, do you have to, can you make up your own Masters rules as part of the Isle of Man FA, or do you have to follow the UK?
No, we can make our own rules and we let the clubs make the rules.
Okay.
We have a meeting pre-season and just see if there's anything concerning them. I haven't seen anything coming forward for this year, what they want to do. Some people say that the age group should be 40.
Okay.
I don't think that would work because the recovery rate is a lot for these older players because a lot of them just, you know, pack it in senior football, you know, 34, 35, and then just to carry on, they go into the Masters football. But I think what's great, Dave, is some of these people actually come into Masters football but then go back coaching with the kids.
Yeah.
So the Masters football keeps them a little bit fitter.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they've only got so much time.
Yeah.
And you've got to work with a big squad for Masters football to, you know, keep it going. But it's good. I've managed Corinthians now for a long, long time. And, you know, I go down with the kit. There's no point in telling players, you know, or doing tactics or whatever. It's all about having fun.
Okay. And a Masters game lasts how long? And it's, I believe, rolling subs as well, is it?
35 each way. There's five subs and it's rolling subs. So there's plenty of time to change around. But unfortunately, the starting lineup, a lot of the time, don't get injured and don't want to come off. So you have to upset them by switching things around. But you can put them back on again. So
yeah, exactly. That's the whole.
It works.
Yeah,
no problem.
Brilliant. Okay.
No problem.
Excellent. So that, just to reiterate, Masters FA Cup, it's Colby versus Onchan and Corinthians against Douglas Royal. Canada Life Women's FA Cup semi-finals there. We've pulled out, I would say, the final, really, in the semi-finals there. I apologise to everyone for that, really. Well, certainly for Peel or Corinthians, because one of them's going to miss out on getting through to the final, you'd argue.
Yeah, I'm glad you've done it, to be fair, Dave, because the way the draws go sometimes, it's the two best teams that get there. And I think this year, certainly in women's football, it needed something like this. You know, Douglas Royal, over the last couple of games, haven't been able to field a team.
That's a shame.
Because players injured, older
COVID
players.
COVID as well.
But, you know, it's the younger players as well, different commitments. And great to see Castletown in the semi-final because they've only just come back in. But Peel against Corinthians. Peel have had the bragging rights this season already. I know Corinthians lifted the Floodlit Cup, but Peel have got some really good players there, and it's going to make a real tough game for both teams at Peel next week.
So that's next week then. So we've got the Masters at the Bowl on Sunday, and the women
on their own pitches. So Castletown against Royal will be at Castletown, Peel against Corinthians will be at Peel.
Excellent. Okay. You should, as long as Douglas Royal get a team together, I'm pretty sure they would for an FA Cup semi-final. You'd expect them to beat Castletown, but Peel versus Corinthians, you'd edge Peel. The fact that maybe they've got home advantage, but Corinthians have got a cracking team. And they've got I'm going to give you a name now, because I've been following her for ages. Yeah. She just turned 16 a few weeks ago, and a week after her 16th birthday,
scored a hat-trick.
Erin Sells, what a player.
What a
player. Really, really good. And Wayne Lissy was down there to watch that game. And I'd like to think that she'd be someone that he'd be drafting into the Isle of Man squad sooner rather than later, because she's certainly got the talent. And OK, she's only just 16, but age shouldn't be, you know, playing a part. Or even just to get her involved with the older women, you know, bring her game on, as it would with other younger players as well.
Definitely, and Wayne won't be frightened of that, and he'll know about Erin because he does development centre as well, so he knows the younger players coming through, and it's an open door. And as Wayne showed when he picked his squad, you know, one or two sort of really good players, more mature players, were omitted from it because one hadn't played Manx football this year, and another one just, you know, he just thought that there were other players around that could do a job. But the training's been good. You know, Canada Life as well, fantastic to them, have supported women's football right the way through. We're just getting things organised. They've got a game on Easter Saturday, 12 o'clock kick-off, just before either FC Isle of Man or the FA Cup final. We'll wait and see how that one goes. But no, you know, Wayne's been a great appointment, and he'll get the young girls all fit, and the age group of them, they're very, very young. I know you take an interest because your daughter plays football.
We should arrange to get Wayne and Simon in here one Saturday. We could do that. Wouldn't it be good to, you know, to have a chat about women's football and promote and try and promote women's football a little bit more here in the Isle of Man. So that's it. I think that's all business taken care of for today. So, okay, Tony, enjoy your evening. We've still got football to come right here on Manx Radio AM. So make sure you stay with us. We're going to take some music for a moment or two, and then we'll have a little. We've got a feature ahead of the FC Isle of Man game this evening. So stick around. In about 10 minutes' time, we'll be hearing from Andy Birchall, who's the founder of the Ravens 12th man, and then we'll be handing over to Rob Pritchard and Steve Burns for commentary for tonight's FC Isle of Man game. You're listening to Manx Radio. This is the time is just coming up to 6 o'clock, and it's coming up to 6 o'clock. You can just hear Tony putting the balls away, and we'll be heading down to the bowl very, very soon.
Manx Radio Sport, driven by Rex Motor Company. Find your dream car by visiting rexmotorcompany.in today, or find us on Facebook.